החודש הזה So the Gemara in Beitza gives us a very, very good piece of advice. Gemara in Beitza tells us, Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Harotza Shizkai Lunachasav. If a person wants that their investment should make a good investment. You want your belongings, you want what you have. You want your money, your belongings, your possessions, whatever. You want to make a good investment, you want it to last. Subprime mortgage is not the way to go. Harotza Shizkai Lunachasav. Yigdal b'hanadar. Plant the tree, another tree. Gemara goes on to explain, because this is it's a good tree, it's a powerful tree. Shenemar adir b'marom Hashem. The language, the designation of this tree, being in the category of an adar tree, it's an adar tree because adir b'marom Hashem. Just like God is powerful, God is mighty, God is lasting, God is strong and present in the upper worlds, so too, a person who wants to make a good long-term investment, plant a tree. Plant this type of tree. Its roots are strong. It'll have a thick trunk. It'll provide shade. It'll provide fruit. Ultimately, you'll be able to use the branches for something. In other words, it's a good investment because it's strong. It's lasting. One of the big tzaddikim of our generation, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita, from Yeshiva Shara Shemayim in Yerushalayim, uses this pasuk, uses this gemara rather as a guide, so to speak, to Avodas Hashem. So the person who's looking to plant, to invest, nechasav, their possessions, their spiritual possessions, their kochos hanefesh, tefillah, Torah, midos development. If a person wants their accomplishments in Avodas Hashem to be long-lasting, to be strong, to give fruit, to give bounty, to be long-term, that is to be deep, yita bahen adar. A person has to implant in themselves, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter explains, to plant in themselves, yita bahen adar. The concept of adar. Aleph dar. That aleph, which represents the initiative of godliness in this world. The alufo shalola. Aleph dar. That God dwells here in this world. Aleph dar. That in this world of concealment, in this olam, in this place of darkness, in this place of confusion, in this world of masks, God dwells. Aleph dar. A person wants the ruchnius. They're learning the Dhamma to be long-term, to be long-lasting, to be strong. We have to look beneath the surface. The strength of a tree lies in its roots, lies in what's beneath the surface, or what can't be seen by the eye at first glance. Chernobyl Magid explains that the Lashon of Adar, not just this tree, but this month that we're Mevarchim and Meretz Hashem the Shabbos Mevarchim Adar, they say that back in the day, I don't know, in one of the excursions in Making of a Gadol, it says that back in the day, and he has 50 makoros, back in the day, that when people were Mevarchim Chodesh Elul in Europe, it was like people crying, faint, just hearing them, you know, Rosh Chodesh Elul, people would faint and pass out, the fish would tremble in the sea like it was a whole to-do. So you have to imagine, like, when they're Mevarchim Adar, so like, people are jumping up and down, and the fish would like be turning circles in the ocean. It's Mevarchim Adar. So, says the Chernobyl Magid, Adar, Chodesh Adar, comes from the language of Aderet, Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi wore a cloak. This is the cloak he gave over to Elisha. A cloak in Aderet covers and conceals. They cover their face and cover their body with it. Just like a cloak conceals the person and covers a person, so too, in this world of concealment, we have to know that what lies beneath the surface, is what's real. Aleph Dar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Hashem is here all the time and everywhere. If we want our possessions, if we want everything that we're doing, everything that we're learning and accomplishing to last, we have to implant in ourselves this awareness, this consciousness, that the alufo shel olam is dar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in this world. The last few weeks we're reading in the Parsha unbelievable nisim, but there are a little bit, there's subtle differences. So Kriyas Yom Suf was an incredible moment of God awareness. It was an amazing time where the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, explains that they saw the Yam V'Yabasha, that the sea, which represents the world of concealment, the Alma, this Kasia, because you look at an ocean, it looks calm and quiet and peaceful, like whatever, there's nothing going on there, but underneath the sea, underneath the surface, there's so much happening there we don't know about, that we'll never know about. There's more species being discovered under the sea than we know about that are above land. Yamasha represents the Alma Disgalia, that which is seen, that which is understood, that which is apparent. And in Kriyas Yom Suf, there was no separation between the hidden world and the concealed world. Everything was open. Everything became clear. That's what the Shifcha al Hayam was able to perceive God in such open way, more so than Yechezkel ben Buzi, more so than the greatest of prophets. Because there was no separation between inside and outside. But the whole miracle took place under the guise of nature. The clouds came in, the wind blew, there was lightning, there was storm. The Sefer Chinuch explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying through with the Midah of Anava to conceal this miracle of Yom Suf, which is such an unbelievable moment, as much as possible within nature. But then Parshas Yisro, it's like the Baruch Hu doesn't even bother concealing within nature. 2 million people are standing at the mountain. 2 million people at once. That's a lot. I mean, it's like however many people are going to be at the Super Bowl, that's a lot more than that. At one shot. And there's not, it's not an Indian of concealment and that which is revealed and together. There it's totally for the whole world to see. The whole world was silent, Chazal tell us, and only the voice of God was heard in the world. There was a lapidos eish, and there was kolos of brokim, thunder and lightning and torches and fire and clouds and the kol shofar getting stronger and stronger, and the Ribono Shel Olam himself, Kaviyach, came down and spoke out the dibros. Total open awareness of total revelation, divine revelation. This week's parsha, Erei Mishpatim, 50-something mitzvos in the parsha. No big revelations. There's no splitting of the sea. There's no like Isgalia and Iskasi. There's no concealed. There's no moment where the entire world is so clear, where every single man, woman, and child saw and witnessed and experienced the divine revelation at Sinai. Over here, it's a whole different story. What does Rashi tell us in the beginning of the parsha? No? Audience participation. Just like the Dibros came from Mipir Guru, just like these were given at Har Sinai, just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself there, so too all of these laws, all of this Mishpatim, all of these nitty-gritty, all these halachos, they were learning in this week's parsha about all sorts of inyanim and al-chaber and al-makom, about lending money, about how to be a business person, about how to be a part of a community, how to deal with people who are going against Torah. All of these details that are really our guidebook to live in a society, in the world, on planet Earth, right, in an everyday nitty-gritty way. These are also from Sinai. These are also coming from a divine place. The challenge, so to speak, I mean, just Bishalach Yisro Mishpatim, the challenge is to somehow channel those big moments of Bishalach, Kriyas Yom Suf, and channel that moment of Har Sinai and bring it down into the world of Mishpatim that we live in on a daily basis. So there's Tzvei Dinim, there's two aspects. It depends. Okay, I don't know. Raise your hand if you're brisker. Or if you think you're brisker. I mean, you're not. You know what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you're sick of a world with labels. Okay. So, yeah, the brisker way of looking at the world, the chassidish way of looking at the world. So for all the briskers, there's Tzvei Dinim. For all the chassidim over here, there's two bechinos in the way we look at them. It's the same thing. You know, like everybody just like has to, we have to belong to a group, so we use different language to like feel comfortable. It's okay, whatever. There's two aspects to this whole going through this world of keeping halacha.
of being a halachic Jew.
The first stage is following halacha, is doing what we're supposed to do. The first aspect, the first din, is just doing it. You have to do it. You shmir samitzos. You know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. You have to know what it says in the Shach, in the Paz. You got to go through Yerodea. You have to know the Shabbos. You have to know what the Ramah says. You have to know what the Mechaber says. The Mishnah Brura. You have to go through it. Or you just buy, you know, one of the English halacha books and you read that. And you don't have to do any of that stuff. But you have to know. You have to know what to do. On a very basic level, you have to know what to do. You have to learn halacha and know halacha just that we can read the Pesukim and Mishpatim. We learn the halachos. So that we know what to do. But there's another aspect in Shmiras HaMitzvos and in fulfilling Halacha that Rabbi Nachman explains the Rosh Yitevus of Halacha. Hariyu LaHashem Kol HaAretz Hey Lamed Chaf Hey. That really the ultimate goal of Halacha, of being a Jew who follows the divine will, of learning the law and fulfilling the law, is to see that the entire world, that all of creation, that which is revealed and that which is concealed, is calling out divine praise. Hariyu LaHashem Kol HaAretz. If there's a Jew in the world who's learning halacha with deep eyes, we're learning it the way really we should be learning it, the way we would like to be learning it. And it's not just a list of do's and don'ts that are affecting our outer movements, but it's something which is changing the way we think, the way we feel. And that ultimately is going to be the machri on how we act. That's the second aspect. That's the second bechina of Shmiras HaMitzvos. That's the second din. It's not so much what we do. That's just the outer level. That's the beginning. That's the initial stage. That we have to do. If we're not giving halacha, then what are we doing? What are we talking about? If we're not doing what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what it says in Mishnah Berurah, so okay, so then there's nothing to discuss. But that's a starting point. That's Ratzon Hashem. I mean, that's the apex of Ratzon Hashem is to be a halachic person and fulfill all the mitzvos. Halavai. But to go down and go through a checklist, I did right to go. I said my 100 brachos. I said, what's the point of saying 100 brachos a day? Ma Hashem Elokecha Dor Yishmael. Why are we saying 100 brachos a day? Kim Liyiroso, to be aware of him, to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not what we're doing on the outside with our body, with our physical movements and fulfillment of halacha, that's the end-all, be-all. That's the basic level. You remembered your mother's birthday, you buy a card, you buy a card from Hallmark, and you hand it to her empty, blank. You remember the birthday, okay, you check off on the list that you remember the birthday and you got a card. But what makes it special is what's written inside that card. What makes our Shmiras HaMitzvos noteworthy and worthwhile? That's the second aspect. That what we do is just the beginning. The question is, how are we doing it? What's the intention? What's the inner movement? What's going on a concealed level? What's going on inside when we're laying tefillin and when we're doing chazara on our morning shir? What's going on inside when we're giving somebody a lift, when we're giving tzedakah, when we're benching, and when we're taking out the garbage? This is the basic cheshbon and nefesh that I'm making every Rosh Chodesh. Especially when we're talking about a month where the whole focus and the whole movement and direction of the month is focused and facing inward. Where we're looking at what's going on beneath the surface. If we want our nechassim, if we want our accomplishments to last, so it can't just be based on outer. The tree can look very beautiful on the outside, big and strong, but if there's not a healthy root system, if in what's going on underneath the surface, it's not connected and it's not deep, so then a wind can come and knock over the tree, then it's very susceptible to the elements. The Mor v'Shemesh was one of the great Talmidim of the Noam Elimelech. Knocked down to the Mor v'Shemesh. He says that when he was Mishamish his Rebbe, so it became apparent to the Noam Elimelech that Rav Klonimus Kalman is Talmud of Klonimus Kalman Epstein. The Mor v'Shemesh was a very special person because he understood. He walked into the room where the Rebbe Melech was learning,
and saw that he wasn't learning by himself, but he was learning with an elderly person. So he came, and the story goes, he brought him instead of bringing one tea to his rabbi, he brought tea for his rabbi and tea for the other person who was sitting there. And afterwards, the Rebbe Elimelech asked him, well, you know, what's pshat with two cups of tea? What's the story? So he said, I saw that there was an elderly person there learning, and it looked like there was something very heavy going on, so I wanted to... He said, do you realize the person who was sitting there was a gilui of Avraham Avinu, v'chule, whatever that means, I don't know if it's true or not, it doesn't really matter. But these are, like, it doesn't matter. The idea is true. The Kodim was Kalman, Halevi Epstein was coming from a different place. Anyways, here's his take on the whole first psukim in our parasha. Says the Mo'ar V'Shemesh, based on the first Rashi, the Eilam Mishpatim, the Eilam Mosif Al Rishonim, Ma Eilu Misinai, just like these were from Har Sinai, Ratzolomar, Kiaseres HaDibros Nemru B'Sinai, Ve'eimov, Yira B'Reses V'Zeya, V'Vislavas Godol, just like the experience at Har Sinai was one that was filled with intensity, with sweat, with fire, with unbelievable excitement, with loud noises and a big to-do, Kisha'odom Lomeid in Yonim Ke'ela Devei Musar, when a person is learning Musar, it's not stunning that this juxtaposition with these parshas, that the whole experience at Har Sinai is immediately followed by jumping right into the details. And that's stunning that Rashi HaKadosh is making the horror that he makes in the first pasuk. But it's telling us a lesson, that we have to recreate the experience of Har Sinai in our own learning. It's not just that you come to Seder, and we open up the Sefer, and we do it, and we underline, and we have stark marks, and we do it the right way, and we underline it straight with a, I don't know, with a credit card, or with your old ID card from high school, or whatever it may be. It's not just that we're going through the motions and doing the learning we're supposed to be doing, and going to Seder and Shir and Chazara, but the question is how? Are we excited? Are we pumped for our learning? Are we interested in it? Does it move us? Let the learning of Torah, specifically of the revealed Torah, the Hainu Limud HaMishpatim V'Hadinin Yehu Bereses V'Zeyo V'Slavis K'mo B'Sinai. That Rashi is trying to tell us an important lesson, that our learning of Halacha has to bring us to a level of excitement. And this is a challenge, but this is the challenge of being a Ben Torah. Because Memeilu we're keeping Halacha, Memeilu we're learning Halacha. Question is, what is it doing to us on an inner level? What's the experience like? Is it one that's filled with simcha, with anticipation? Is it something which is like getting us moving and making our blood pump? Or is it something we're just doing like the guy in the old Dunkin' Donuts commercials, trying to make the donuts, going through the motions like a zombie, like a goof without a neshama? And he goes on to explain a beautiful limud, that he continues, that the whole Indian, that Sanhedrin, the way Rashi explained that the Sanhedrin were placed in the Lishka in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Lishka Sagazis in the Beis HaMikdash was directly opposite the Mizbeach. It teaches that just like the Mizbeach was on fire, the Mizbeach represents sacrifice and avoda. And instead of karbonos today, we have tefillah, and that has to be with fire. The Mizbeach was always slanted because it means that a person has to always be moving up, and a person has to be growing, and on fire with Avodas Hashem. So too the Avodah of the Sanhedrin, who were across from there, they were looking at that. That was their model. That learning Torah is not just something that we're doing to go through the motions that we know what to do, but it's an inner movement. It's something that changes us. Torah Hashem, Tamim and Mashivas Nafesh, with the work on letting it affect our soul, our inner essence. There has to be something which is conscious. We have to be open to it. Be ready for that experience. All too often we can get into the mode of just like checking the boxes and going through the motions and just going right there and just going and going and going. And like the Chovas Talmidim says in the fifth parak, that the learning could just be b'shitchius, it could just be superficial. Unless a person is stopping and making a cheshbon and nefesh every parak or every after every, I don't know, at the end of every month or every, whatever it may be, taking its time to pause and say, hold on. Agrav Yisrael Salanta said, I went through that perek, but is that perek going through me? It's a cliche, but it's true. The reason why everybody says it is because it's a real thing. Because again, it's not just about what we're doing, the question is how we're doing it. The end of our parsha that we're going to lay in Emirat HaShem this Shabbos, description of the whole experience at Har Sinai. Umarek for Hashem ke'esh achalas. That the vision of God, that the honor, the experience of witnessing God on the mountain was like a consuming fire. Ke'esh achalas. Says Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, an unbelievable Torah. We have to know this is Klal Gadol. We have to remind ourselves of this. That a Jew learning Torah, a Jew keeping mitzvos, may be tanug gadol l'ma'ala. We're creating unbelievable joy, unbelievable tanug, kebiyachol, in the upper world. We're bringing tremendous pride to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a person is learning Torah, keeping mitzvos, in the underline, im adam ro'esh libo bo'er ke'esh. If a person feels like you get into a good groove, and you feel like you're on fire, whether it be after you bash your head against a sugya for a day or two, and you're going over it and you're frustrated, and you feel like you're just about to throw in the towel and say, forget it, but you go over it again, and your chavrusa explains it, and the Rebbe goes over it again, and you look at it again, and then it clicks, that moment where it clicks, when everything just becomes clear, that feeling. And you just want to jump up and like Rocky at the top of those steps and fall down, like, you know, like jump up and just say, ah. Or that feeling when you come out of the mikveh of Shabbos and it's a little cold out and you're walking and you have a nice niggin in your head and you're ready to go into the Beis Medrash an hour before Shabbos, like a Ben Torah, and take Shabbos on through Limud. That feeling you have, that geschmack, that excitement. When you feel like it's just right, or you're in the middle of a chagiga, or you finish Shnai Mikra on Thursday, you know, like, you're like that excitement that, like, oh, you hit a milestone and there's something that's making you feel good in Avodas Hashem. Shaliba boyer keish mislaiv la tami la avodoso. Yes, lo cheshek v'rotzon la avodos avori. You just want to do more. You just want to go weiter. You have that feeling of just wanting to, like, pound away at the Gemara a little bit more, or like knock off another sefer. As bevadai muchach Hashem yisparach yish lo tanag ma'avodoso. That itself is the litmus test to see if the Ribbono Shel Olam is happy kebiyachol with our avoda. That's our feedback. That's our litmus test. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is letting us know how we're doing is how we're feeling. Umarek kvod Hashem. How do we know? How do we see if the Ribbono Shel Olam is happy with us? If the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking pride in us? If we're giving kavod Hashem? Ke'esh ochelos. If we're on fire. If on the inside we're feeling excitement, we have a ratzon, a tshuka, a desire, a yearning, even if it's like not the best day, but we want it. But on an inner level, we want to have that excitement, we want that fire. Says the Kiddush HaSlevi, Shiyirtza Adam Leidayim Roek Kvod Hashem. If you want to know if we're in the presence of God, if we're bringing honor to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nehneh Mimenu, L'zeh Ke'esh HaChalasim Libo Boer Ke'esh. If we're on fire, that's a litmus test. Parshas Mishpatim, after Kabbalah Satorah, after Yisro, this is the main question. Not just are we doing it, but are we feeling it? Are we allowing ourselves to, are we opening ourselves to feel it? Are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us feel it? To help us be on fire, to help us be ignited? Are we thinking in our lives, not just in our bin adam l'makam, not in our tefillah and our limud, but in all areas of life? It's hard. You can't be, you know, tired and lazy and bored. And what is one of the major yisodos in Chavos Talmidim from the PSS name? That if a person thinks that you're going to, like, blow off school and not take it seriously, and be a person who's, like, insular, not helping out other people, and be somebody who's, like, you know, not so into davening, but learning, you're really going to do strong. So it's not going to work. We're one organic whole. We can't compartmentalize ourselves like that. If a person is living their life, doing the best they possibly can, giving their all, so then it's going to affect all areas of life. It's very difficult to compartmentalize. The person thinks that I'm going to give my all in my learning, and my all in my tefillah, but right now is not the time for me to be thinking, it's about me. It's not time to be thinking about other people. It's like, it's totally missing the point. In a chanami, this is the year, or two, or three, or four, or 20, or 20, I don't know, however long, to be working and learning, to be in yeshiva. To be in yeshiva, to be learning and learning and learning and learning. It's true. That doesn't mean you have to go out and work in a soup kitchen 5 times a week to be able to be being about chesed, helping other people, but to be finding every opportunity in your own Dalet Amos, in your own room, in your own shir, in your own Beis Medrash, in your own walking from the door to the Beis Medrash, to somehow look to see what you can do to help another person. That affects one's learning. That affects the one's davening. Because if a person is passionate about tefillah, and a person is on fire for learning, so then naturally one should also be on fire for interaction, because ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero are not two separate things. They're both sides of the same coin. Anyways, there's a ma'isa of Reb Simcha Bonim of Pshischa. Pshischa was traveling, he was going, you know, schlepping around, and came time to stop for the night, and he stopped off at a kretschmer, a little place to, you know, to have a hot meal and stay the night. He goes there, it's freezing cold outside, it's full of snow. He goes into this little kretschmer, and the balabais, the guy who owns the pub, who owns the little hotel, whatever it is, they're the inn, is sitting there, and he's like, he's tzbrach, the guy's totally broken. How do they say in Hebrew? On the face. Business was totally, he didn't have any money. The guy is like complaining. No customers come through. All these guys have big tabs, and no one ever pays it up. The whole thing is al panim. The whole operation is just nebuch. The guy is complaining and totally tzbrach. Anyways, as he's talking to him, there's a knock at the door, and the door creaks open. This gust of freezing cold wind, air comes into the place, and the balabai jumps up, so, you know? The patron, someone here, come in. He goes to the door. This schlepper of a Jew, you know? He's a water carrier, I don't know, he's a tailor, whatever he was. He's a schlepper, you know? He comes in, like, totally freezing cold, you know? And the innkeeper's like, oh, Yashal Lechem, please come in. The guy says, please, you know, have a little chaim, a little vodka, a little mashka. Just a little vodka to warm me up. So the guy says, hey, of course, please come, you know, come sit by the fire, take a table, have a seat, we'll get you a drink. And he says, what, you know, I don't have, whatever, I'm on my way, like, trying to make a little money, I don't have any money on me, but I hope, you know, in the next few months, I'm going to get back on my feet, maybe I'll have some money down the road to, like, pay for it, but if you just do a yid a favor, just a little mashka, just to warm me up, you need to save my life. He's a bartender, you know, never this guy. He's like, okay, what are you going to do? A yid is a yid. Sits the guy down, he goes behind the counter, the barrel, the big vodka barrel. You know what it was? Vodka in those days was like, it was precious stuff. It was like, you know, Glenlivet, you know, 28 or whatever. Glenlivet, you know, like people really know the difference anyway. Like, it was like, it was like a lot of money in duty free. Anyways, it's like expensive stuff, and he had to get it from the gala, it was a whole to do. Anyways, he goes over there and he pours out this expensive stut mashke, and he starts walking up from behind the bar, and he stops, and he shakes his head and he spills it on the floor. So one of his watch. The other guy is by the fire, doesn't notice. The guy with the balabais goes back to the barrel, pours another shot of vodka, takes another couple steps, and he stops again what he's doing, and he's pours out on the floor again. It's crazy. He's throwing away, like, each shot is an expensive thing. And he does it again and again and again. So finally he pours a nice shot. He collects himself. He walks over to the guy with a big smile. L'chaim, Rabbi L'chaim. Simcha Bonim is sitting by the table and he waits for the balabais to come back and he says, what was the story with that? What was going on? Can you tell me how poor you are? The guy comes in and he can do him a favor, but like, he poured out half a dozen shots of vodka. That must have cost you, I don't know, 50 ruble. whatever, the dollar's weak now, so I don't know. So he said, this guy says, you know, Rebbe, the truth is, came in, I was so excited, I thought I was going to make a few bucks, I thought, my luck changed. But the guy says he doesn't have any money, okay, I'll help the guy out, I'll do a chesed, but you know what, when I poured that first shot, I was so annoyed at him. I was like, who is this guy? Chutzpah coming in here. And I was going to give him a shot, but I said, I'm doing the guy a favor. I can't give him a shot feeling like that. And I went back and poured another l'chaim for him. But I was just like thinking, like, this is crazy. I'm giving away free l'chaim. The guy should give me something free. I don't have...
I realized I can't, there's not a way to serve a customer. There's not a way to give over to another Jew. Pour it out again. Until, this guy kept pouring out shots until he finally felt like, oh, now I can give it for simcha, I can give it with a full heart, I can give it the right way. And he gave this guy l'chaim. Simcha ben Pshischa said from there, he understood what it means to be an Eved Hashem. One of the most unbelievable midrashim, favorite midrashim in the whole world, is Medrash Rabbah and Rus, on the other side of the page. There, Medrash asks, what's pshat that we learn that Boaz, we learn the whole maaseh from Boaz feeding all the people collecting, you know, leket. What he served them? So the Medrash says, Yitzchak ben Merian taught us that the pasuk teaches us the menu that Boaz fed them. Shim other mosa mitzvah yasena b'leiv of shalim. That if a person is doing a mitzvah, you should do it with everything that you have. You should do it with a whole heart. And he gives three examples. She'ilu haya Reuven. If Reuven would have known Yodesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Reuven would have known that it would be written in the Torah that he took out Yosef from the pit. Says the Medrash, Reuven would have taken Yosef on his shoulders and danced him out of the pit. Had Reuven only realized that it was being written down in the Torah. V'ilah yodeya Aaron, if Aaron HaKohen would have known that it was going to be written in the Torah, that he went out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu. So, he would have gone out with Tumpim and Macholos Ayyot to the Crosso. He would have gone out with a whole marching band. He would have gone out with a whole symphony orchestra to greet Moshe Rabbeinu and a ticker tape parade to greet his brother. Had he only known that it was being written in the Torah. And here our example, if Boaz would have realized that it would be written in the Megillah for eternity, that he served a little vinegar and bread to all the people who were collecting, he would have brought out steaks. He would have brought out the best cut meat and the best food in the pot in the world. He would have brought out the most delicious things. He would have set up a whole Viennese table for all the people. If he would have only known it was being written down. Because when a person does a mitzvah, you have to do it all the way. Believe of Shalim. What's Aaron and Reuven and Reuven, one of the Shvatim, the Shiftei God, Aaron, a Kohen, and Boaz, Tzadik Elion, like they would have, the cameras would have been on, they thought were on TV, like they would have done something different? The answer is that we think that sometimes, what's the big deal? He's taking him out of the pit. What's the big deal? He's just serving some food. What's the big deal? He's just going out to meet Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to understand that everything counts. That everything is written in the book. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about everything that we do. And that everything that we do, from mitzvahs that we can think are the big mitzvahs, Lulav and Seder night and Purim and all the big mitzvahs that we think are like, you know, Kol Nidrei mitzvahs, yeah, we have to do those big Vilev of Sholei. But even those mitzvahs we think are not such a big deal. Those mitzvahs that are everyday activities, everyday nitty-gritty, that come up on a daily basis, 2, 3, 4, 10 times a day, those are the mitzvahs we do believe of Sholem also. Because those count too. When we're interacting with other people, I mean, so much of what's happening in this week's parsha is alerting us to the way we deal with other people, the way we see others. On the first page, there's a few psukim there from the parasha. The ger lo sameh, we have to be careful with the feelings of a convert. To be careful and be sensitive and be aware of the plight of an almana, of a yasam. Do you ever see such harsh language in the Torah? I don't know. There's such harsh language in the Torah. What a Kadosh Baruch Hu says is going to do if we're not careful with the feelings of an almana, of a yasam, if we're not careful with the feelings of the other, of a ger. I got what Baruch Hu says here. So if you don't pay attention to them, so the chara api v'harakti eschem b'cherev, I'm going to come and kill you. You're going to be killed by sword. You're not careful with the feelings of an almana? Okay, so your wife will become an almana. You're not careful with the feeling of a yasam? Fine, so your children become yasam. Rachman al-Islam. Lo'aleinu. But the Ribbono Shel Olam takes it seriously. The way we interact with people counts. Dafka, the way we interact with people who are suffering. Chaim Shmulevitz of Mir once explained that we're talking about Gerim here. We're not talking about someone who's a convert. Someone who went through the Rabbanut and converted and became, whatever, they converted and they're part of Klal Yisrael now and they're Ger Tzedek and they're whatever and everybody knows they're you're not just talking about that. That's okay. That's Pshat. Says Chaim Shmulevitz, anyone who's in a situation where they're uncomfortable, where they don't feel like they don't belong, someone switches into the yeshiva.
who doesn't really know that many guys. Somebody, you'll be one. You'll be wherever you go after yeshiva, after Shalavim, after yeshiva. You'll be somewhere, and a guy, or even now, some guys have a lot of places to go for Shabbos. Other guys don't have a million cousins here. Don't have a million family friends here, or friends in other yeshivas. So a set of guys go out. So there's a guy who doesn't go out so much. He's considered a ger. Somebody switches into your shir, and they're not following the shir. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, they're considered a ger. And if we're not sensitive to their feelings, so then all of the difficult things that the Rebbe Shalom promises are going to happen, lo aleinu. How sensitive are we to the needs of others? That's the whole mishpatim. See, b'shalach, yisro, lead to mishpatim. This unbelievable experience and encounter with the divine, with this incredible hisorus and fire and smoke and divine awareness, all this unbelievable stuff, Ben Adam al-Makam is leading us to Mishpatim, which is Ben Adam al-Chaveiro. Baruch Shalom ultimately, learning and davening is all good. That's just the first step. The question is, are we able to channel what happens in our Torah and our tefillah to dealing with others? That's the question. So many of the Rishonim are talking about a Mishpatim, that Mishpatim is the next step. Okay, once I have in my head, fine, that there's a God in the world, that God gave us the Torah, and that the Rebbe Shalom cares about what I'm doing, the question is, how am I interacting with other people? And again, when we're dealing with other people, it's the same klal as when we're dealing with the Rebbe Shalom. It's not just what we're doing, it's how we're doing it. This is Beferish Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Tzarech Litein HaTzadaka, when a person is giving tzedakah, giving charity, you're helping another person, you're giving them money, that's the easiest thing to do. Tzarech Litein HaTzadaka B'Sever Panim Yafot. It doesn't just say how much to give. Here in the Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch explicitly says how we give. It's not just what, it's how we're doing it. We have to give tzedakah b'sever panim yafos with a smile, with a positive countenance. B'simcha b'tuv leva. It's not a chassidish sefer, it's the mechaber. M'zoni ma'oni b'tzaro. To sit there and try to relate to the plight and the suffering and the pain and that awkward feeling that the oni has. And to try to comfort him. And if you give, like, in a way which, like, a disgusted way, or impatient way, or a way that's like, oh, it's annoying, whatever, I'll do it, because whatever, you're just trying to get it over with. He lost his chus of the mitzvah. It's not, again, it's not so much what we're doing, it's how we're doing it. What happens? Somebody on the street asks you, or at the kota you're davening, you're involved in some very holy, some big avoda, and you're doing all the big kavanas of the Arizal, and someone asks you for money. It's like looking at him like he committed genocide. Like, I'm davening here, I'm doing something important here. Our kavanas are better than Avram Avinu's kavanas when he was outside Vayera Lav Hashem. When the Torah says explicitly that Hashem revealed himself to Avram Avinu. For sure our kavanas are deeper than that when we're davening and someone comes to and shakes a couple coins in their hand at us. So what do you do if you're in the middle of something? Or you don't have, what if you legitimately don't have money on you? Simshallah ha'ani ve'ein lo ma'itein, you don't have what to give him. Lo yigarbo, don't degrade him. Don't snap at him. Don't give him a hard time. Yeah, be a kol olav. Don't raise your voice against him. Eli, if I send him a dvarim, you don't have money to give him? So give him dignity. Give him yachas. Relate to him in a way which builds him a little bit. Put an arm on his shoulder, offer him a drink. If you're not in your house, so like, offer him a smile. Panadak, sorry, Rabbi, I'm sorry I can't help you, you know? But, you know, I wish I could. Whatever. V'yir alibo hatov sh'ratzon alitein. And show him that you really wish you would be able to help him. You don't have it on you right now. It's like the mechaber is taking for granted. It's like assuming, obviously if you had, you would want to give. Obviously, if you're able to, so of course you... But if you can't, if you don't have money on you and you can't fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, let's say you can't fulfill that mitzvah because you just don't have the money. Ah, the answer is you can fulfill the mitzvah. You can. You still could be mekayim the mitzvah in some aspect, in some way, even if we don't have the money on, even if I don't have the money on me. Or the guy we think totally doesn't deserve it for whatever reason. Oh, yigarbo. To degrade him, to humiliate him. Have an opportunity to be mechazik a person, to build a person, to give them cover. Says the Rama, Asu l'hachzir ahani ashol reikim. You can't send them away empty-handed. This is not the one that says kol ha-poshe gadol noslim lo. But it sounds very familiar. I feel a nosin lorak. Even if you don't have, to give him like even one little something, even like half a penny, something. Says the Shach, Afilu nasa lo harbe, even if you give this guy a ton of money, he asks you for money, you give this guy a $100 bill, you cut him a check for $10,000, whatever it may be. If you don't do it in a way which reflects a positive feeling, if you're not making a chais to this person in a positive way, and with all of the aspects that are mentioned in the halacha, over the fall, you're being over on Issa d'Oraisa. Because it's not just about what we're giving, it's how we're giving it. It's not just about what we're doing, it's how we're doing it. We see this also by the halachas of Matanas Lav Yom. We're here. Shloshim Yom, 30 days, B'kodem HaChag. So, Shol and Vadorshin, we're Shol and Doresh in the Inyanim of that Yontif. I have to Gemara, Megillah, elsewhere. Shloshim Yom, B'kodem HaChag, we're Shol and Vadorish. Then Yana Shal Yom, we start to learn halachos, and we start to be involved in Yanim, right? So like, Motzi Purim, I just did it for last year for the first time. It was like, I thank God I didn't put a do not resuscitate sign, and like somehow, like in the wee hours of the morning after Purim, I told him I have to learn Hachas Pesach. It was a Kiddush, so I have to learn Hachas Pesach. So I started learning Hachas Pesach, it was the first time ever. Shloshim Yom, Kodem HaChag. So now we're Shloshim Yom, we're 30 days before Mevarchim Adar Sheni. Right? We're 30 days before Shabbos Mevarchim Adar Sheni, so you have to be Shoel V'Dorish. It says Remendel Rimanov, what's the Lashon of the Gemara being Shoel V'Dorish? The language of the Gemara should be that 30 days before the Chag, you should be Lomeid, the Ma'ayin, should think about, start to learn, start to prepare. Why Shoel V'Dorish? Says Remendel Rimanov, because it's not just that you have to start to learn halachas. 30 days isn't enough to learn halachas. 30 days is not enough to learn halachas anything. Right? It takes a lifetime to learn halachas anything. And fill in the blank here for whatever area of halacha you really want to keep. It takes a lifetime. Years and years and years of like those 30 days before that yontif until we finally get it down. You know? But shovel v'doresh, we have to be asking Hashem, to be begging God 30 days before the yontif, we should be zochet to be mekayim in the proper way. So let's learn halacha from the Rambam, and this way we'll be asking Hashem, begging God, being shoel v'doresh from Hashem, that we be zochet to fulfill the inner intent and the purpose of the mitzvahs of Purim. Chayv l'chalek l'anim b'yom ha'Purim, this is the Rambam. My brother always likes to preface anything he says from the Rambam. The Rambam was the most rational of all Rishonim. This is, for all the briskers in the room, and all the chassidim, this is the Rambam. It's not straight up. Chayv l'chalek l'anim b'yom ha'Purim. A person has to give out the matanos l'avyonim on Purim, to give out money. And mutav l'adam l'harbos matanos l'avyonim, we know this, we've learned this our whole lives. But do we think about what this implication means? It's more important and it's better. It's more valuable. It's more ideal. It's more appropriate. It's more right. Mutav, however you want to, mutav, it's better. It's more gooder. With all due respect to the women's division, with all due respect to the sisterhood, the Shalach Manos are very beautiful. The Hawaiian themed Shalach Manos are very beautiful. With like the pineapple and hula girl and the it's great. It's amazing. And the whole, I mean, hours and money on the Shalach, it's great, it's wonderful and it's beautiful. But it's mutav, it's better, it's gooder, it's more appropriate, it's more right, it's more normal, it's more Torah-dik to be marbe matanos levion, to be giving, using that money to help other people. She'ein sham simcha gedola. There's no greater, more noble, more powerful, greater simcha el l'smoach lev aniyim v'yisomim v'almanos v'geirim. This is Pesuk Sparsha. There's no greater zechus, there's no greater simcha than giving over. Where do you think Simchas Purim comes from? It's true, all the hisoros of the Megillah, it's unbelievable. And the kochos that are tumbling, that are hidden inside the Megillah, the secrets of the universe. And the shefa that comes down during Hamelech of the Kriyas Megillah is the shefa that comes down, the Hamelech that we have in Yom Narayim. It's true. And it's true the Pnimius comes out, the Mishteh, the Simcha. It's true the Mishloach Manos is building the deepest Kisharim between people. It's true, it's all true. All of it's true. But none of it compares to the simcha that's generated when we're giving over. The simcha of Purim essentially comes when we extend ourselves to others. When we give what we have to others. Shem sameach lev amlalim ha'elu dovah l'shchina. What it means to be godly means to be giving to others. It means to be open to other people. It means not just giving, not just what we give, it's how we give it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, l'hachayos ruach shefalim, l'hachayos lev nivkayim. The whole purpose of Purim, the whole purpose of being a ben Torah in this world, the reason why we have Torah, is l'hachayos ruach shefalim, is to enliven the spirit of a broken person, to give koach, to give chizik to another yid. L'hachayos lev nivkayim. To heal the broken heart of another Jew. Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishnah says, so they would announce that it's time for everyone to bring their machzis a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. It's time for everyone to make their contribution. The contribution has to be machzis, has to be broken, has to be half a shekel. It has to be half a shekel. Because we have to know that in our contribution, our avodas Hashem, is incomplete without the contribution of others. And then machzis a shekel is a zecher of the Matvei Shel Eish of Moshe Rabbeinu. That it's not just that we're giving, but it has to be giving with fire. Matbeh shel eish, there has to be hislavos. Ke'esh ocheles. Umar k'vod Hashem ke'esh ocheles. It has to be with fire, with passion, with excitement. It has to be with a tanug that we're able to, that we're zocha to give, that we're able to give over to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's announced. Mishenichnas other marvin besimcha, the simcha, the great simcha, maybe it means that the beginning of the month, right away, we make an announcement, it's time for us to pony up. It's time to give over to the Beis HaMikdash to contribute. Because there's no greater simcha than giving. There's no greater simcha than being able to help another person. I think it's time for us to wrap up over here. But again, to return to the initial thought. If we want to have our ruchnis, our avodas Hashem, to make it long-lasting, to make that it should be real, that it should be implanted, that it should be something which what we're doing now is going to benefit us and our doros, our children, our grandchildren, for future generations. That the decisions that we make now, and the learning that we do, and the ruchnis that we accomplish, and everything that we're, all the growth and all the development is going to be something which is long-lasting. It's not a phase. It's not something which we flip into and flip out of. It's not something which is like a suntan that fades, but it's something which is long-lasting. So then we have to implant in ourselves this idea that Aleph Dar, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells. Shivitzi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. This is the beginning of Halacha. The beginning of Torah's Nigla, the beginning of the guidebook, the handbook of what it means to be a Jew, of how to live in this life as a person fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. And the first siman, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, that God is before me always. That's the inner intention of all Halacha. To do the motions, to check the boxes, to wrap it, to fill in right, absolutely. To make the matzah in the right amount of time? Absolutely. To do or not do, to bench or not bench, to measure kizesim? Absolutely. Malalugmav, to know exactly how much wine to drink on Pesach, how much fasting to matzah? Absolutely. But we can't get caught up in the details and miss the inner intention of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. That everything that we're doing is an opportunity of encountering the divine. Aleph Dar. Alufa Shel Olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dwelling everywhere. Mishpatim teaches us that in all these halachas, the nitty-gritty, the interaction with people, and bedavka, the interaction with people who are the other, Yisom and Almanos, those who are neglected, those who are suffering, those who are on the periphery of society, the geyer, those who feel like they don't have a shaychas, like they don't belong, those who are not in the in-crowd. Davka there, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. You know what it means to have God before us always? That means that in every situation that we're in, and every individual that we meet, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu before us. That in every opportunity, there's every moment, and every choice, and every avenue, and every alleyway, and every daf gemara, and every halacha, and every opportunity, and every bus driver, and cab driver, and falafel guy, and makol person that we meet in this world, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. You have to see God in that. See the spark of the divine in every person and everything. That's the secret of Aleph Dar, of the Adaras Eliyahu. The world is concealed. We see a world of masks, we see a world of concealment. And we have to have the courage to be able to look beneath the surface. And the way we're able to have eyes that see beneath the surface, see the divine in everything and everyone and in every opportunity and in halacha and in shmiras hamitzvos and in avodas Hashem is if we ourselves are striving to be pnimistic people. Striving to be people who are doing things with fire, with passion, with excitement. Not just doing it right. Not just doing it, but doing it right. Doing it deeply, doing it with fire. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're trying, sees that we want it. Shouldn't be afraid to ask Hashem for help. And Mirtz Hashem, all of the accomplishments and all the amazing growth and learning and inner working that's happening in this base medrash and in every base medrash and in all of our Dalai Lamas and as Tzibur together, all of our machs and shekels, this Rosh Chodesh Adar should be counted up together and we'd be zocha to restore the avodah of the base HaMikdash b'mheira. Thank you very much.